A carnival house of mirrors is a lot of fun. First you're fat, then thin, then you're both. But at the exit, the real you comes out. Many people are deluded, seeing themselves as they want to, not as they are. This can lead to tragic consequences. Today, insights on self-perception, seeing yourself and your surroundings the way God sees them. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series explains why good people do bad things. Turn with us to James chapter 1 as Dr. Lutzer finds many of us lost in a house of mirrors, oblivious to the reality around us.
I read a story about a man who was at a musical, Christian musical, that was so powerful that at the end everyone was weeping. Everyone was thinking about the emotion and the drama of what was happening. And he stood up after it was over and he turned back and there was a friend of his. And the friend said, "Hi, how are you doing? What do you think about them there Cubs?" Guy thinking, them there Cubs. Was this guy in the same meeting as I was? I mean, how could he be sitting there, of all things, thinking about the Cubs, when you've got all this going on? He's not there to hear. Now, there might be a place where you can ask about them, their Cubs. But at a meeting in which the Holy Spirit is present, where hearts are being tugged and where they're being turned, I hope that this is kosher to be able to say this, but get the wax out of your ear. Have you ever gone to church and then gone home with someone and you say to yourself, were they in the same meeting as I was? Did they hear anything? Didn't they hear the singing? Didn't they hear that testimony? Where were they? James says, get rid of the filth in your life and you will improve your hearing. So first of all, he is a clean person. Secondly, he's teachable. You'll notice it says, "My humbly accept," I'm in the last part of verse 21, "humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you." So we're talking about humility. I come to the word of God not to judge it, not merely to hear the words, but I come to the word of God to submit to it because I know there are all kinds of things in my life that God wants to talk to me about. And therefore, I must look at that mirror and see what's there for me. And so I come humbly. What is your attitude when you come to church? Do you listen to a sermon saying, "I wonder if it's going to be interesting"? Sometimes those of us who preach may be interesting. Some of the times we might not be interesting. Does it really matter? We should come to church just like you might be in a courtroom when a will is being read and you know that your name is included in the will, but you don't know exactly what's been given to you or, for that matter, what's been taken away. And so you're all ears. You're listening for your name. And it doesn't matter whether the guy who's reading it is exciting and pronounces all of the words right and whether or not he's a monotone. It really doesn't matter. You're there to hear his name, your name. Do you come to church like that? Do you come to church saying, "God, I'm here to glorify your name, but also to hear my name. I want to be teachable." And so you'll notice that he is clean. He is teachable. He is obedient. James says, in fact, what you should do if you really are obedient, you should be able to control your tongue and take care of the widows. He has a very practical application of what obedience means. But of course, the word does more than that for us, doesn't it? That's only a part of it. In Pilgrim's Progress, there is a discussion of the mirror called God's Word. And this is what it says. "The man who continues looking into the mirror of God's Word sees in it things far more wonderful than his own face. He sees not only his filthy garments, not only the spots and stains on his life. He sees in it Christ, the Christ of the thorn-crowned brow, the Christ of the cross, the Savior whose blood cleanses him from sin." And so it is there that we get a whole new identity, that we are washed and we are redeemed and we belong to God. And so we think of ourselves differently. This past week, I was on a flight from Fort Lauderdale to Chicago on United Airlines, and it was on time. Let's give them that credit, okay? And they showed a movie. And so I was reading a book, and I thought to myself, well, I can watch this movie, too. Most movies, you can read a book very easily through, and this, I felt, was one of those. But I was doing this very well. But then I began to realize, you know, this movie is really defiling, even though it was, quote, edited for airline use. And so I watched it a little longer, and then I thought to myself, you know, the pastor of Moody Church, no pastor of Moody Church should be watching this movie. So I took the headset off, and I put it beside me there on the seat that was vacant next to me. But then I began to think of what I had said. No pastor of Moody Church should watch this movie. That was the wrong thing to say, believe it or not. Of course no pastor should watch it. That's not the point of argument. But what if I weren't a pastor? What if I were a businessman who loves Christ and is a member or attender of Moody Church or some other evangelical church who's wanting to live for Jesus in this polluted world? He shouldn't be watching it either. So the real answer is not just because I'm defined in terms of my function, because that can change. But the real answer that I should have given is nobody who's been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and been cleansed by Him should be watching this. That's the real answer. Because we have a new identity, you see. An identity determines behavior, and it determines what we do. Let me give you three words as we boil this down in practicality. The first word is light. The first word is light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This series of messages, God willing, if you pray for me, and I strongly encourage you to fast and pray for me. This series of messages, hopefully, is going to take that light of God's word and shine it into our hearts. And we're going to see deceptions. In fact, the next message of the series is titled, Deceived and Loving It. And we'll point out how we really love to be deceived when we want to do something. So it's going to be painful because we're going to have to deal with things such as anger and shame and guilt and all those things if we're really thorough. So the word light comes to mind. The second word that comes to mind is love. A recognition, the fact that we love one another and therefore we're all on our journey, we're all on our way, so to speak. We don't come to this situation thinking to ourselves that somehow we've arrived. That gap between who we are and who we project that we are, that needs to be closed. We need to be willing to deal with those inner things, because remember, the series of messages is why good people do bad things, and sometimes good people do disastrous things. And dare I say that you or I could do some very bad things. So we do it in an atmosphere of love, where it's okay to be in progress, where it's okay to talk about struggles, where it's okay to say that we're not there yet. And recognizing that that's what the body of Jesus Christ should be. Like someone has written a book which I have not read, but I do like the title. It is called The Safest Place on Earth. Church should be a safe place. We don't tolerate sin, but we are very, very patient when we're all struggling to be pure in the midst of a polluted world. So the second word is the word love. Let me give you a third word, and that is the word life. Life. If I could summarize it all, maybe it's the words of Jesus who said, unless that corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, what is that death? It is a death to self. It is finally ending the blame game. It is ending such things as projecting. It is demolishing of defenses that we have so carefully built. It is becoming really, really honest, because honesty kills us. It slays us. But what did Jesus say? When the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears fruit. It brings about life. It gives hope. It changes us. And as a result of that, we suddenly discover that the fulfillment about which Jesus spoke is possible, because at last we've quit running. No more games. Just us and honesty. In the presence of God and others. Now, vulnerability is terrifying. We recognize that. But I urge you today, honesty, at least in the presence of God. Let's not try to fool Him, as sometimes we do. To not minimize sin, but to simply say, Lord, here I am. This is what your mirror says, but this is the answer. There is cleansing, there's forgiveness, and there's a whole new identity in Jesus. And that is the bottom line. One day, some people who really were into God's Word, into the law, the Old Testament law, they brought a woman to Jesus and they said, Jesus, here's a woman who's been caught in adultery in the very act. What do you suggest? Moses said to stone her. What do you think? And Jesus said, of course, if Moses said it, do it. Go ahead, do it. The only requirement that I have is he who is without sin. And the idea is he who hasn't committed a similar sin, you cast the first stone, you see. And so Jesus wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And one by one, they all left. And Jesus said, is there nobody who's condemned you? Nobody, Lord. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Change your vocation. Live differently now that you've been transformed by my awesome power. He who looks into the Word and immediately goes his way, he's not helped by the Word. And you can be here year after year. You can study at Moody Bible Institute and not be helped by the Word. The person who gazes into the law continually and says, God, what's in it for me in the sense I desire the transformation of my life. I desire to be as holy as you can make me. That's obedience to the mirror. And such a man will be blessed in his deeds. So join me on a journey as we look into the human heart and try to figure out why, quote, good people sometimes do very bad things. This is Pastor Lutzer. Throughout the years, I've tried to be a student of human nature. I've looked into my own heart to see its deceptions, the reasons why we tend to circumvent what we know exactly that God wants us to do. And we are indeed interesting creatures. Now, in this message that you have just heard, I have emphasized the power of the Word of God in the lives of people who are willing to embrace it and to allow it to grow in their hearts. I think a parable that is very relevant is the one that Jesus told about the seed that was thrown onto the rock. Of course, the seed didn't grow. And then, of course, you know the rest of the story, that some of the seed went into the soil and it bore fruit. I have to ask you today as we conclude, give me an analysis of the state of your heart. Are you really open to what God is trying to tell us? Are you willing to hear His Word today? Or could it be that I'm speaking to someone whose heart is closed? And you've closed your heart to the Lord and to His Word. And for you, my friend, the Word of God is of little value. Let's open our hearts to the One who can change us forever.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, concluding Lost in a House of Mirrors. Tomorrow, join us as we see a man who is deceived and loving it. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. You're hearing Why Good People Do Bad Things. This series is now a book, which we'd like to send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.